All right, it's Fairfield County Live and Local, presented by the Sono Collection. My name is John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox, and I'm hanging out with Sam and Erica from West End Blend. Guys, thank you for being here.
Having us.
So
What's going on?
Yeah, nothing much. Nothing much. Thanks for joining me late on a Sunday night. I've been talking about you guys for the last, really since I started this show, since Sam, you first sent me some of your tracks. You guys might be my favorite live band in Connecticut. The first time I saw you guys, it was a New Haven show. I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, you guys were opening up for Turquoise. Does this sound familiar?
No.
Yeah. Possibly a Toad's Place.
Toad's Place. It was a Toad's Place.
Toad's Place maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. That was like, that was one of the last pure jaw on the floor, like live experience that I had. I'm like a big Turquoise fan. So I showed up late. I was like, okay, cool. I've heard about these guys. These guys will probably be pretty fun. And I was so mad at myself for showing up late to that gig. So, I mean, you guys are, there's only the two of you here tonight, but you're what, an 8-piece band total?
Yeah.
8? Right on. So it's what, the 2 horns, yes. 2 guitars, drum, bass, keys, and then you, Erica, singing lead.
Yeah, it's me on lead. Our trumpet player also sings as well.
Right. Right.
And,
So how does a band...
As far as vocals, but yeah.
Right. Well, how does a band that large go about coming together? You guys met in at the Hart School of Music, am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Most of us.
How'd you guys all come together? Because
that's a huge
group to get together.
Well, there was more people when we started, when we started as a band. I think it was like 13 people.
Wow.
Yeah, so there was 2 more horn players, 3 percussionists, like a MC, like rapper, and. Am I missing something else, Eric? I don't know.
Get this. It was actually in the early days, closer to like
females.
15.
Yeah.
Because there were, yeah. So
That's
it was
so
like,
nuts.
We had it, you know, and honestly, and Sam was like one of the original, you know, one of the people who kind of formed the band and got everybody together. But, you know, Sam could tell a little bit better, but it was kind of meant to have that sort of Parliament Funkadelic
right,
like styling,
Sly,
several people
that
on
kind
stage
of that kind of thing
music and,
Parliament Funkadelic meets like Fela Kuti, just like a very large band, kind of like dance party thing. And so we wanted it to be a big open and like an open invite to like just like a lot of musicians and keep it like a almost like a collective in a way,
right?
You know what I mean, but once we started touring and getting more serious with it, it's like, you know, we had to streamline it a bit more. But when it first started, there was, Erica said, like 15 people, and it was pretty loose at that time, just like getting together once a week, writing songs, rehearsing, and then we were playing like a residency every single Thursday in Hartford.
Yeah.
And we would cram like all 13 people on stage every Thursday night on this like tiny stage. And
what bar was that?
It's a bar that's closed now, but it's a bar that I helped open at the time called the Hartford Room.
East Coast Dog.
It's like a hot dog restaurant.
On one side,
I played there before. I did a Battle of the Bands when Strange Creek was doing that. Actually, I think that was the first time I ever heard your name, because the guy was talking you guys up. He was like, West End Blend, you got to check out West End Blend. Those are the new guys.
Right. So I was like pretty tight with the owner there.
Oh wow.
So basically, the way it worked out was like Jesse and I went to this guy who had owned a different bar at the time, like really close to where we lived. And we're like, how cool would it be to like walk a few blocks down the road and play a gig once a week and get paid, you know, in beer money, et essentially, and just like have a good time. And so we were like, we pitched the idea to him. He's like, guys, I'm actually closing this bar, but I'm going to open a new one and you should be the house band, you know, quote unquote. And that's essentially how. And I think it's just like, in terms to answer your question, it was just like, we kind of just rallied people to get together and get like paid like in hot dogs and beer essentially every week. And it was just, I don't know, it was just like, at the time it was just like very, just for funsies, you know? And
well, how long was it before you guys had a solid lineup? Like, okay, this is the band.
No, Eric doesn't know. Like,
yeah. Because... So I think it evolved a number of times.
Yeah.
There were several iterations of the band, and it's kind of reflected in our albums as well. So, yeah, there was like an era of a million horns.
Right.
And
a
exactly
rapper.
A million, quote. but yeah, a million horns. There were about like four or five horns. Honestly, when we felt we had started to figure out a lineup, it was, I think, at the point when we were like 13, I want to say, when we had like something like four horns, a rapper, and
two or three percussionists.
I think even after that, I think those were like kind of the East Coast Dog days initially. And then when we started to get more offers for things, I think, you know, over time, like the band size just evolved because, you know, people just sort of decided that they wanted to do something a little bit different. Or, you know, for whatever reason. But I think one of the first like main lineups that we had was like four horns, a rapper, myself, drummer, and then like a full rhythm section, drummer, keys, bass.
Right. So,
like, and two guitars. And then like another iteration was
the main before, you know, and then as time goes on, like, the number of horns go down. You know what I mean?
Goes down. And then, you know, we didn't have a rapper at that point, which was very interesting for me because when we lost the rapper, like, he was my co-front person.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to kind of like sort of figure that out. But he left, and then, you know, the number of horns slimmed down. And so now we're at the 8-piece iteration that you see today.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you guys write music for a project that large? Like, I've been in bands that are that big and it's a nightmare. Like, I mean, do you guys have a composer, or does it evolve out of rehearsal? What's the process for writing?
There is, someone asked me this actually last night, and I'd say there's no like one formula for the way we write music.
Okay.
I think there's multiple formulas depending on who wrote the song. So, like, for instance, if Erica writes a song for the band, she generally will bring in like a fully fledged out chart, like, you know, like a handwritten chart.
Really?
And then she'll have the lyrics already figured out, and it's our job to like interpret the chart and like make it our own, and make serve like that song the best as we can.
Yeah.
But then there's a completely different way that someone else will bring in a tune. Like, our guitar player will make like a demo on GarageBand, send it to us, we'll listen to it, and it's just like two really rough sketches, and like it's our job to like then like figure out how to like marry those two ideas into one, and like essentially like,
so it's really a democratic process.
Oh yeah, I'd say so.
That's even more impressive to me.
To be fair, it doesn't always work is the thing. It's
right.
Sometimes
okay.
it's like
All right.
we do our best
right.
to make that work, and sometimes you know, we do our best to make that sort of process work, but it's a number of different processes.
Yeah.
It just kind of depends on like how the song comes out. Like, when I initially joined was, you know, I was there from the jump, but it's like when I, you know, was first a part of the band and I realized this was like a thing that we like really wanted to do, I'd bring in these, as Sam said, sometimes like fully fledged out charts. I'm coming from like a jazz and composition background where I just thought, right, like that's just the way I'm supposed to do it, quote unquote.
Sure, sure.
But is it, it is interesting because the band in a way sort of taught me that there's so many more ways to deliver music to your bandmates. And so I honestly had to learn that, and other people bringing in other music, some other people bringing in fully, you know, fledged out compositions as I was, or sometimes I would just bring in like a little like bass line idea, or I would just bring in like a chord idea, you know, and
yeah, just to like start from a riff and then start building on it from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just,
what do you write on?
Exactly, however it comes out. Or I just,
yeah.
What's that?
I was going to say, what do you write on? Piano?
Sometimes I just kind of like, I don't know, listen. But I do play a little bit of piano just for composition. I do not perform on piano. I am not at a place where I feel comfortable doing that. Yes. But yeah, no, it's definitely not just me like coming up with these ideas. Everybody's kind of like bringing in something depending on what they're feeling. And then we just like work with it, try to make it something that sounds less like the individual and more like Western blend, whatever that means.
Right. So what, like, all right. So the first recording of yours that at least that I can find was from 2015. Talk about like the early days of the band after you guys had a solid lineup. What was early gigging like, especially with a band that's that large and with that many moving pieces and writing in such a wide open democratic way? That's a loaded question. I'm sorry. So take your time with it. But yeah, I mean, that's always something I'm interested in.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to rally a bunch of people to get together and start gigging, especially when it involves like travel, like not just gigging at our local hot dog venue bar, but like to travel and like start actually like getting ourselves out there. It's tough to rally that many people to do it for very little money, because when you're someone that's doesn't have a lot of recognition yet, like you're not getting like big offers, you know, right away. And you're like, when you have this small guarantee of money that's being split 13 ways, what are you walking with? You're not walking with anything. So I think for the first few years, we actually just said, nobody gets paid. We're just going to bank it all as a West End blend bank account.
Sure.
And so that essentially we can save money and use it towards making records, printing CDs, merchandise, t-shirts, all that kind of stuff. So instead of like paying out of pocket per se per person, it was just like a group fund. And so basically for a while, everyone was making that sacrifice and that investment of their time. And it's definitely tough to get people to do that, but I think they did because they believed in the music that we're writing and like the chemistry that we had and like the momentum that we were seeing. And they knew it was like a hopefully worthwhile investment of that time initially.
Yeah. You guys talked about like, you know, musical influences being, you know, just the big funk bands. You guys mentioned Funkadelic. I hear a lot of Sly in the stuff that you're doing. In fact, I think you guys do Sing a Simple Song, right? What are your like, or I mean, at least you can only speak for yourselves. What are your individual influences? Where are you guys coming from as musicians?
Erica, you can go first.
Yeah, I, one of my absolute all-time favorite artists, well, I'll give you three. Erica Badu, Chaka Khan, Aretha Franklin. they're always the first three that come to my mind.
I could have answered that.
My big
her.
Influences. Sure. Yeah, you probably, Sam, honestly, the whole band probably could have answered that for me, but I take strong influence from powerful, self-owned females who are, speak their truth on stage.
Hell yeah.
And lyrically, musically, everything. So yeah, those are three of my big influences. And then I get into, there's a lot of different genres I'm influenced by, but those are the first three that come to my mind whenever anybody asks me this question, as Sam and the rest of them know.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, and Sam, I want to get to you in a second, but to piggyback off of that, Erica, I mean, you're such a huge presence on stage. I mean, obviously, like, as the front woman, that's going to be the first thing that the audience sees and connects with. Is that an onstage persona, or is that like just kind of who you are in regular life too? Because I feel like it goes, it can either go one of two ways with lead singers.
I don't know. I feel like initially with at least West End Blend, I will say, like, you know, West End Blend kind of like introduced me to a lot of funk music, period. I didn't know, like I said, I was coming from more of like a jazz background. I didn't really know how to front a funk band. And I didn't really know for sure like that there was a difference.
You like grew.
And then I realized, oh yeah, no, there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
And so I had to learn like what that sort of persona is and then make it my own. So I think initially I was like kind of going with the flow and like learning like how to do this. And then it became like that sort of like strength and like independent spirit sort of like transcended into my own like personal life. And I think I'm still working on that. But the last like couple of years especially, it's felt like that sort of influence from like those artists and from the music that we've, you know, spent nearly 8 years performing with West End Blend has like played a huge role in like, you know, my independence and autonomy as an artist and a human being, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What is the difference between or what would you say the key difference is between fronting a funk band and doing like some more jazz, mellower kind of music?
It's so interesting because jazz can be like high energy too, but there's like a different conversation happening, I think, than with
different
funk
conversation.
Music.
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There's like, it's a different dialogue. And I don't know if I am like, I'm not a scholar at this. I don't know if I can like fully give you like the thing that is like very different, but I felt like I had to like dig deep and like find it in myself to just like belt most things like physically and like in a physical sense and like the actual vocal style. Like I have to belt more things with performing funk music than I do with jazz.
I'd say naturally
dance no matter what. Yeah, go ahead, Sam. What's
up? I'd say a big thing too that I would say is overall it's like for funk it's like it's important to interact with your audience and like, whereas jazz is not necessarily, you're not required to like engage your audience and say like,
okay,
here's what we're doing now. We're dancing like this, or we're singing this part together, or we're clapping on this part. Like that's not necessarily like required. In jazz, it's not required, but you know what I mean. It's like
Miles Davis never has to be George Clinton. Like yeah, that's exactly. never that's never
the thing
his
about
job.
That's a funny example. That's a funny example because he had like a whole period of time, especially during the 80s, where he was like exploring a lot of really experimental stuff. But yes, I would agree with Sam's assessment
of
funk versus jazz. And one thing I've learned is that everything I thought I knew, I probably really don't know. And I really have to just like take some time to learn. So that's been like a huge lesson in not making the switch per se, but like just like evolving as an artist and like doing all these different styles like jazz and R&B and funk and, you know, the overarching soul, like, what does that mean? And what does that mean, like, for me to actually deliver it to people? So it's what I end up delivering is just kind of a mix of all of it.
Nice. Sam, what about you? What were your early influences?
I mean, I started pretty late in drums. I started playing drums like freshman year of high school. So like, I'm very jealous of like the kids that started, like people that would say like, I started playing drums when I was 3 years old. I'm like, damn, I wish I could say that, but I can't. But when in high school, I kind of grew up on like whatever kind of music was around like during that time. So for me, it was like all these like alternative bands and stuff like that. Like,
oh, okay.
I was a huge Dave Matthews Band fan. I used to love that band 311. But then my drum teacher like immediately showed me Led Zeppelin, so I fell in love with John Bonham like pretty early on.
So you came from a high energy, like, you know, rock,
yeah, the rock
background before, yeah, all right,
definitely rock. But like, you know, he taught me all the styles, jazz, Latin, all that stuff. So I, like, he kept me well rounded. But then in college, that's when I started like exploring like jazz and funk and fusion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then like, that's when I started getting into more like the old like funk bands, like Tower of Power, like James Brown, Sly, Earth, Wind and Fire, like all those bands. And that's when I really like dug my heels in and like started to like really like check out that kind of music. So my early stuff was like all rock for sure.
Yeah.
And then in college, I kind of like went into what more of what I'm doing now.
I mean, and that's honestly not surprising to hear. I saw one gig you guys did at the Acoustic down where I am in Bridgeport, where you must have been short that weekend or something like that, because it was your two guitar players, and I don't even know if you had your keyboard player, and it was bass, and obviously Sam, you were there, and Erica, you were there, and that was. You guys sounded just as loud and just as powerful as I'd ever seen you. And I think that was my third or fourth show of yours. I mean, like, you know, the rock and roll energy, obviously you're known as being a funk and an R&B and a soul band, but the rock and roll energy was there, man. Like, I mean, it was still funky, don't get me wrong, but it was, I can definitely hear that influence coming from you.
And I'm not the only one that would say that too. Like, I could speak for a few other guys that would answer the question pretty similarly. Like, they grew up on rock first, and like, that's deep within their DNA as a musician. Is
can I take a guess? I forget the guitar player that you have who plays the Les Paul as opposed to the one who plays the Strat, but I'm gonna go ahead and guess it's him, just from having seen you guys often.
You're spot on with that assessment.
Okay my bad for not remembering your name, dude. I'm sorry about that. But yes, yeah, no.
Shout out.
Mike Mike DePampolo.
I can totally hear that. Yeah. I can totally hear that.
Yeah. I just want to say too though, it is a very important thing that you brought up, Sam. And I was literally having this conversation with a friend of mine, a couple days ago. You mentioned like not really getting into this music until like high school, college, more so college. For me, that was kind of the same. Like I said, like I didn't really like, I listened to like funk and soul and R&B, like all that stuff, like, and rock too, like growing up, but like I didn't like perform it until like West End Blend. And I honestly like learning to do that was one thing, but there was like this feeling of like almost like shame for not knowing that language.
I know that feeling.
Like being in this thing, but not like knowing that language. And you know, you hear like your peers like kind of like name dropping a little bit, and you just like, I'm sorry, like I don't know. And like for a while, I would feel like kind of like, you know, I would feel like some sense of shame for that. But honestly, like I said with a friend of mine like recently, like that we gotta squash that as musicians. Like whenever you were introduced to whatever you were introduced to, that's cool. Even if it's like the music that you perform right. every night,
we're all running our
like
own race.
I think every musician can sympathize with that though. I remember I played in a band called Mojo a couple of years ago, and I came to that as like a complete garage band guitar player, you know, much like your guy who plays the Les Paul. I'm sure he was more educated than me, but my point is like, you know, there was like at the beginning of rehearsal, these guys would just have a real book in front of them and they'd just be going through standards, and I'd be like, oh, no, just still setting up. You know, don't worry, I'll get there eventually. I had no idea what these guys were playing. You know what I mean? It is. There's that feeling of Erica, like you were saying,
yeah.
that shame almost of just like, oh God, I should really know all of this stuff. Can I even call myself a player? But we do have to squash that, I think, universally.
Yeah. And we also it makes us feel good too.
Yeah. 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 Well, it's a blend. It's a true blend with you guys. I hate to use that pun, but it's just too it's too right there in front of me.
Yeah. No.
So we're actually right now on 95.9 The Fox. Playlist Junkie is just running out. StreamYard's the app we're using. It's okay. But the show before us is just about to run out, which means that West End Blend is about to have 3 in a row right now on 95.9 The Fox. So if you're watching and you live in Fairfield County, just turn on 95.9 FM. If you're not in Fairfield County, you can go to 959thefox.com. And starting in just 2 minutes, you're going to hear 3 in a row from West End Blend, the phenomenal band who I'm lucky to speak to two of their members tonight. Guys, thank you so much for coming and hanging out and having this conversation with me. This was cool.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yes, no problem.
All right. Well, listen, once again, it's West End Blend, westendblend.com. You can check them out on Instagram at West End Blend, and they're all over iTunes, Spotify. Check out their music. My personal suggestion, Live at the Waterhole, but get anything. It's awesome. It's awesome. Guys, thank you so much once again for doing this.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us again.
Thank you.
Check out West End Blend on 95.9 The Fox, 959thefox.com. You can stream it. It's starting right now, 95.9 FM if you're in Fairfield County. We're presented by the Sono Collection. Thank you for watching. I'll see you guys next time.